Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, glad you're with us on this Wednesday morning. I'm laughing because I'm looking back at the Facebook comments here this morning, and we're interacting on social media and YouTube and all that stuff. And you know, it's interesting. We got a few new trolls on there. Always glad to see that when I read this in the morning. But somebody said that they didn't know what I was talking about on this Camping World thing that I mentioned a few minutes ago. Doesn't anybody remember that? It happened back in 2017, but I have a memory like an elephant. So I remembered this. The Camping World CEO, Marcus Lemonis, got mad when the media lied about what Donald Trump said in Charlottesville. Remember that where he said there were good people on both sides? Well, he was absolutely right. And he got blasted for it, and the media blasted him for it, and the Democrats blasted him for it. Wasn't about supporting white supremacy or any of that. It was about a bunch of idiots that wanted to tear down a statue. And he's like, this is silly. There are good people on both sides of this. Just because there was somebody there protesting in support of the statue and you don't like their beliefs, you labeled them white supremacists, doesn't mean there weren't people there with common sense who say you don't tear down a piece of American history just because you disagreed with something that was going on 200 years ago. It's just stupid. And Trump got blasted for it, and Marcus Lemonis was on that day, and he basically told people who he bought into the lie, and if you support Trump, don't shop at my business. Do you remember that? Listen.
We just need to be very careful, and I'm concerned about certain CEOs dancing on the fence.
No, that's the wrong bite. Here we go.
There's no doubt that there is probably not many consumers in this country today that are in favor of what has been said in the last couple of days. And if they are, quite frankly, don't shop at my business.
So Marcus Lemonis came out and said that. And clearly there are people who don't remember that. And they're like, Camping World, I thought that guy was really conservative, because recently he's been in court fighting to fly these huge American flags outside of his business. Well, about a month and a half after he said that back in 2017, he had to issue an apology letter. And in his apology letter, it's sort of like if you get in a fight with your spouse and then you say, I'm sorry if what I said offended you. That's not what they want to hear. That's it. They would tell you that's not really an apology, right? So he apologized because his comments hurt his employees, because he had to start laying people off because all of those Trump supporters quit going to his stores. So Marcus Lemonis learned a very important lesson back in 2017, and now he's Mr. Patriot. He's out there flying in big American flags and suing cities if they try to make him take down his big American flag, because he wants you to know that he realized the error in his ways, and now he no longer dislikes Donald Trump because it's bad for his business. That was the point of all of that, in case you didn't remember. So anyway, that's why I brought that up. And that's why I was laughing there coming out of the commercial break as I went back and read some of these. Lemonis, here's a quote from him. This flag is not coming down. It's my love letter to tell everybody how grateful I am that this country provided me the opportunity where it didn't have to. So now he's all in on America and Donald Trump. Make America great again. How about that? Hey, we're following what's going on overseas. Coming up, we're going to talk to Greg Roman, national security expert, executive director of the Middle East Forum, about what's happened overnight. Big threats made by Iran. So far, it's been a nothing burger. The world is going to remember for centuries what they were going to do last night. And this morning we're waking up and I'm thinking, well, I guess I missed it because nothing happened. And I'm not quite sure what they're talking about. It appears Israel has pretty seriously degraded their functional capabilities. And now the question is, will the U.S. fly one of its stealth B-2 bombers in there and drop a bunker buster on top of this last big uranium enrichment plant they have under a mountain somewhere. And that's where the debate has centered today. Even a lot of conservatives at each other's throats over this one, it seems like. Greg Roman will join us here shortly, and we'll get you a check of business before the end of the hour. The director, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, is going to join me in the next hour about 7:35. We'll talk to him about some of this infighting within the Republican Party over what Donald Trump might or might not do in reaction to all this. But right now, Drew Young, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary, because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your
Wait a minute. That was Senator Padilla. Is that his name? I don't know him. I didn't even recognize him, and neither did the police that arrested him that day in the hearing. But yesterday he went to the floor of the Senate and was crying some pretty big crocodile tears about his arrest.
Remember, Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. It's very simple. Not to go too deep into it. They just can't have a nuclear weapon.
Thank you. President Trump has said that. He's been consistent. We're not letting him have a nuclear weapon. We're not letting him have a nuclear weapon. They could have backed away from all this. Obama was going to let him have a nuclear weapon, even if he said that he wasn't. And Donald Trump will not.
To be coming out of our country. I mean, I grew up in a dictatorship, and I don't even remember ever witnessing anything like that. To have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world, to now be turned into one of the worst countries.
So, Ilhan Omar, get the hell out. That's my message to her. She's claiming the United States is now worse than the crap hole in Somalia that she came from. How about we start a GoFundMe page to fly her back?
It is not anti-Semitic to say that we do not want to go to war against Iran or any other country. That is not anti-Semitic at all. It's actually rational. It's sane. And it's loving to people all over the world.
Yeah, MTG, there she is. She was out and loud yesterday on her opposition to any sort of conflict with Iran. She's entering that territory where she's challenging President Trump here and anybody that supports him, and kind of denying the fact that Donald Trump is facing a serious leadership question here, and leaders have to lead would be my argument to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's mad. She is clearly on board with the Tucker Carlson's of the world right now, who are angry at the thought that the United States might stop Iran or get involved in any way with Iran, not even full-fledged war, just in any way. We shouldn't even drop a bomb on them in the minds of a lot of these folks. And she took her ire out yesterday on Newsmax there, I think, is where that interview came from. She's also mad at Fox News because they might be okay. I think I heard Hannity last night basically saying you need to leave Trump alone and let him make the decision that he has to make as the leader of the free world. Listen to her go off on the Fox News and the New York Post. Go to 14.
I'll call out Fox News and the New York Post. They're known to be the neocon network news. We have propaganda news on our side, just like the left does. And the American people have been brainwashed into believing that America has to engage in these foreign wars in order for us to survive. And it's absolutely not true.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. She thinks Fox News, because they disagree with her on this issue, is somehow propaganda news. I would disagree with her on that, but that's a longer conversation for sure. All right, we're going to get to a break right now because I got a guest coming up in the next segment. Greg Roman is going to join me. He's a national security expert on the Middle East, and he's with the Middle East Forum. We'll find out what he thinks might happen in Iran coming up. Stay tuned.
I'm a big believer that President Trump is trying to get to peace here. I think he's genuinely does not like war. And he certainly promised, and I think he truly is there. He doesn't want to get us involved into a forever war, a long-term, multi-generational war.
That is Congressman Andy Biggs from Arizona speaking last night on Fox about what he thinks is going through President Trump's mind right now as he faces this pretty tough decision. And I want to get to Greg Roman. Greg is a Middle East national security expert and executive director at the Middle East Forum. Greg, good morning to you.
Morning, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your thought process here? What are the choices for Donald Trump at this point?
So Donald Trump is working on this in two parallel tracks. The first is he tried diplomacy. He came into office, and on the second day, he said, we have to put the vice back on Iran, but we're not going to launch a kinetic action against them. We'll give them 60 days to negotiate to be able to try to get a diplomatic solution to the nuclear issue. But he was very clear in his policy. Iran does not need to have a nuclear weapon. Zero. No exceptions. The Iranians hemmed and hawed, and they delayed. On day 61, it wasn't President Trump that launched a strike against Iran, but it was Israel, because they were listening to what the president said versus the Iranians, who didn't listen. And in due course, now the president has to make a decision. Will he capitalize on the softening of Iran's infrastructure, air defense systems, and the weakening of their nuclear systems and join the attack? Or will you allow Iranians to continue unabated until the Israelis and the Iranians get to a stalemate? And then after that, the U.S. will still be in a situation where its national security interests are threatened.
Yeah. I would assume that the bunker buster bombs that we have, no other country in the world that is an ally of Israel has that capability. I mean, it's either us or it's no one, correct?
Right. It's GBU-28s and GBU-57s. The idea being that a massive ordnance penetrator can create enough room between the surface and the area in which these nuclear facilities are located, an area called Fordow, Isfahan, and Natanz. The latter two have been dealt with, but the first one is really the crown jewel of the Iranian nuclear program. And Israel, like I said beforehand, has the ability to soften it. They've been able to shut out the entries to these places. They've attacked the alleyways to be able to get in. But at the end of the day, if you want to destroy the program, the U.S. either has to provide those weapons to Israel or has to conduct the strikes themselves.
Greg Roman, my guest, of course, here from the Middle East Forum. So I've heard a lot of conservatives who are critical of this compare this discussion to the WMD discussion with Iraq. And they all claim they were lied to before. What if they're lying to us again about whether or not they're that close to having a bomb or enriching uranium? What's your take on that argument?
I think the biggest issue is that you have the international organization responsible for monitoring nuclear activity, the International Atomic Energy Agency, saying that Iran is in violation of their nonproliferation guidelines. It's not Colin Powell going to the United Nations Security Council and giving a presentation just by the U.S.'s right. But you have Israel, U.S., Austrian intelligence agencies, even the IAEA, who is saying that Iran is marching towards a nuclear weapons program. The IAEA Secretary General said, and this is a direct quote, there is no reason why Iran has elements of these nuclear materials because they do not have to do with a civilian program. So the first thing I would say to conservatives and anyone else who is against the idea of the U.S. intervening is that the rest of the world nuclear regulatory agencies say Iran doesn't have to have this. It's not just certain rogue elements of the U.S. intelligence community who may be arguing that. And then more than that, I would take the Iranians at their own word. They have said for the last 46 years, forget about nuclear weapons, but they consider the United States to be their mortal enemy, to be the primary threat to their ability to project their power in the Middle East.
Yes.
The combination of the possibility of having nuclear weapons and the violent history of Iranians being directly responsible, not the Iranian people, but the Iranian leadership being directly responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans, is enough to get over the hump to say that maybe it is a good idea to take them out once and for all.
Yeah. Greg Roman, meforum.org is the website for the Middle East Forum. Greg, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Absolutely. Yeah, good to get another perspective on this. Coming up, we'll get to Nicole Murray, see how the markets are reacting to this uncertainty this morning. That's coming up after the break in other news about 6:45.
You're an immigrant in this country.
Yeah.
Did you have a visceral reaction to what they're doing, what ICE is doing, when you see the videos of it?
Well, I tell you, you said that the immigrant, I'm so proud and happy that I was embraced by the American people like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, imagine I came over here with the age of 21, with absolutely nothing. And so I just think the world of the great kind of a history that we have with immigrants in America. But the key thing also is at the same time that we got to do things legal. Sure. That is the important thing, you know. So you got to do things legal. And those people that are doing illegal things in America and that are foreigners, they are not smart.
I love that. You know, I tell you what. Arnold Schwarzenegger has seriously disappointed me in recent years. I mean, obviously, he was like the last Republican governor of California. But in many ways, he was a Republican in name only, in a lot of ways. And during COVID, he disappointed me, where he famously came out and said, screw your freedom. We're going to do what we need to do to protect people, this sort of thing. Right. So I've not always been a big fan. But yesterday he shut down the yappers at the View. Can I just tell you that she wanted him, Joy Behar, she wanted Schwarzenegger to come out and blast ICE for daring to arrest criminal illegal aliens. And Schwarzenegger says, no, when you go to somebody else's house, you need to respect it. Listen to this.
Because when you come to America, you're a guest and you have to behave like a guest. Like when I go to someone's house, and I'm a guest, then I will do everything I can to keep things clean and to make my bed and to do everything that is the right thing to do, rather than committing a crime or being abusive or something like that. So that doesn't really work in this country. So I think the important thing is, when you become an immigrant, to think about, okay, I go to America because I want to use America for the great opportunities that America has in education, in jobs, creating a family, all of those kind of things. Then you have to think about, okay, if I get all of those things from America, then I have to give something back. You have a responsibility as an immigrant to give back to America.
You know, as an
Thank you, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for they were dying to jump in and say, but, and Arnold just didn't. He just didn't budge. Good for you, Terminator. You went full Terminator on The View yesterday. Let's get to Nicole Murray, please. Nicole, how are you?
I'm dandy. How are you?
I'm doing fine. You know, I was cracking up earlier when you were on this morning talking about this study about that it could be bad for your health to sleep in a hot bedroom.
What kind of sociopath sleeps in a hot bedroom?
I don't know. But I'm this supports my argument. I always want it to be cold in the room, and I'll even put the ceiling fan on and then bury myself under the covers.
That's what you're supposed to do. Make yourself a little cocoon.
Yes. Thank you.
So, yes. Now you have my support on
so,
something
so
for
basically,
the first time.
Basically, what it says is it can be dangerous. Your metabolism doesn't, it slows down. You don't get any advantage out of a deep sleep. Is that what it says?
It's the warm, wet, like, hold on, words, whoa. The warmth slows down your metabolism, and it also...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
also makes you less likely to respond to insulin. Both of those are very important when it comes to weight loss.
What's that, Drew? Drew had something to say here.
It's the same for showers. Are you on board with that?
Cold showers?
Yeah.
No.
Chill.
I'm not doing the ice bucket challenge or whatever they call that in the morning where you jump into a tub of cold water. No, thank you.
Sleeping and showering are two very different things to me.
I'm with you on that. No. Yeah. How are the markets reacting to all this uncertainty overseas?
So right now, futures are mixed. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 299, the NASDAQ down 180, the S&P 500 down 50. A federally funded St. Louis nonprofit is facing blowback from employees for restricting diversity, equity, and inclusion activities in what the CEO called a response to President Trump's executive orders. Tony Hilkin, chief executive of Places for People, sent an email to staff saying the organization will no longer participate in pride celebrations, use pronouns in email signatures, or place DEI flags, signs, and decorations in public-facing parts of the workplace. A St. Ann hamburger joint is being sued for over $22,000 in unpaid rent by its landlord. In a lawsuit filed in St. Louis County Court, Illinois-based Keith Hoogland Limited Partnership claims that in 2015, Bus Loop Burgers agreed to rent the space at 10462 St. Charles Rock Road. The lease agreement was extended to 2027. The Fed's meeting is set to conclude today, and experts predict that the agency will keep interest rates the same. CME Fed Watch Tool says there's a 97% chance that the rates will be held steady. The Federal Reserve will announce its interest rate decision at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. The White House says President Trump is planning to, again, extend a deadline requiring China's ByteDance to divest TikTok's U.S. business or be banned in the country. It's the third time President Trump will have extended the deadline since taking office in January. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said it's a 90-day extension. Nielsen reports that for the very first time, streaming services have eclipsed traditional television in overall U.S. TV viewership. YouTube, Netflix, Paramount Plus, and other streaming services combined attracted 44.8% of all television usage in May. Nielsen found that total viewership for cable and broadcast networks was at 44.2%. And finally, do you believe it? Because I can. Millennials aged 18 to 34 are now more likely to live with their parents than with a spouse or partner. It's the first time this has happened since record keeping began in 1880.
Wow. And tell me the age range here again. What are we talking about?
18 years old to 34 years old.
18 to 34, more likely to live with their parents than a spouse.
Yeah, I'm not all that surprised by this trend.
Man,
just based on what I know.
We ought to all move into slab homes, get rid of those basements, and then they wouldn't have anywhere to live. I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm just kidding. I think we've asked for this,
yes.
Honestly. My children took advantage of staying on insurance as long as they could because, frankly, it's expensive and you want to have a good, solid, full-time job where you can get a decent coverage from your work. But you know, when my dad went into the workforce, he left home at 18 and went to work at a steel mill, and he was kind of on his own early on. And
wow.
We don't require that of our children anymore.
It's just cost of living. It's out of control. But not to mention the trends around romance has changed. I feel like people aren't getting into committed relationships as young. I'm 33. I'm just starting to hit that age where there's wedding.
Yeah.
And I feel like my mom experienced it in her 20s. So it's a multitude of things.
Yeah.
It's not that we're not putting the pressure. It's the environment.
Yeah. Interesting. And that's an interesting perspective on it because, I've often wondered what's leading to that, and you're facing some. You see some of that pressure. So, Nicole, thank you. We'll talk to you on Friday.
It was a pleasure.
All right, Nicole Murray, there. We appreciate getting her on here. She's on the Gordon Deal Show every morning. If you're not up that early, they lead up to us from 4 to 5 a.m. We carry the Gordon Deal Show there on the Compass Media Network, and they do a great job. So, we're glad to have them. And so coming up, we're going to get to in other news for you next hour. Michael Watley, is going to call in. He's the current chairman of the Republican National Committee. He was selected for that job from the Carolinas. They wanted to talk to us a little bit this morning about getting to to yes on this big, beautiful bill in the Senate and really what that's going to look like. And then we're also going to talk to our friend Chad Pergram at 7:47. We'll get Chad on here and see what they're talking about up there in Washington, D.C. this morning on a number of these issues, including the investigation into who was running the White House. Are they going to get any answers on that? I don't know. That's a really good question under the Biden administration. So we'll get to all that for you next hour. We'll get to In Other News when we come back here in just a minute. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
All right. You know, I saw the story the other day about the bison incident out in Yellowstone, where inevitably every year somebody gets to out of their car, gets too close to a bison, and they either get chased or they get gored, because these are like attack cows. Think of them that way. You don't want to get near one. Well, inevitably in Yellowstone every year, somebody who has to go on vacation with their pet lets the pet get out of the car, and then the pet does something stupid as well. This time, if you've missed this video, it is classic. A German Shepherd jumped through the window of a vehicle it was riding in and tried to chase down a wolf.
That's great.
Now, fortunately for the German Shepherd, this is a big German Shepherd. Fortunately for him, it was a juvenile wolf.
Mm.
And at first, the wolf ran because it was by itself. And then at some point, remembered it was a wolf, and it turned around and it got in a little standoff with the German Shepherd. The two never connected, and the German Shepherd finally responded to its owner and stopped and got back in the car. But the pictures are fantastic.
I know. You can see the owner like chasing desperately after the dog.
The wolf is looking at it like, what the hell do you think you're doing? Yeah. You know, I don't know if what would have happened if they had met, but German Shepherds can be pretty vicious if they're trained well. So we'll see.
Well, in an F1 race this weekend in Montreal, it was a groundhog that was a problem. A groundhog in the middle of the track, and Lewis Hamilton, who's one of the best F1 drivers in the world, hit it. Did not know that he hit it, but it caused enough damage to his car that he couldn't win the race. He didn't even know he had hit something. I mean, going 200 miles an hour.
Those F1 cars, like the Indy cars, are so low to the ground. I would think that.
Yeah.
Remember the problem? Didn't they have a problem in Vegas because some of the manholes were like hadn't been covered properly, and the cars ride so low to the ground that it was causing damage to the cars when they hit them?
Yeah.
Yes. That was a thing.
So I imagine that hitting something as big as a groundhog would really mess you up.
Right.
And he felt really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Who did, the groundhog or the driver?
Well, the groundhog hopefully didn't feel much.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just saying. Wow. Okay, I have had just about enough of the fools in the WNBA not realizing that they have a generational player in Caitlin Clark. The video yesterday of these Suns players taking her to the ground again is really getting ridiculous. So she's dribbling the ball. I'm not saying that she's not an aggressive player either, but I've yet to see her just do what these people are doing to her. They're going to end up injuring her, and what they need to remember, the GMs of this league need to all get together and have a team meeting with their players and say, don't kill the golden goose, because when she's on injured reserve, ticket prices plunge, and so does viewership. If you haven't seen the video of this, you got to go look it up, because it's ridiculous to see two different players hit her. One hit her in the eye, and the other one came up afterwards and just chucked her to the ground.
Are they calling this?
They called a foul on her and one of the other players in the incident yesterday. It's like they feel like if she gets knocked down, they've got to call a foul on her, but then they'll finally call a foul on the person that did it. It's got to end. There's
no
doubt about
it. What do you think this is about?
I don't know if it's jealousy. I mean, her first game back to the day, half of her three-pointers were from 30 and 35 feet. The three-point line is like 22 feet. She's shooting three-pointers from just past the half-court line. And it's driving these women crazy. They can't defend her. They can't stop her. She scored 35 points in her first game back, I think.
Did they do the same thing to Michael Jordan?
Like, no. Well, I mean, like, the NBA was a little different back then, but yeah. I don't remember him getting assaulted any more than anybody else. Anyway, I think they need to protect her more than they have.
Well, I guess I was asking whether you think it's all about basketball or there are other components to it.
Well, like, the girl that took her down yesterday was white, so I don't know if there's a racial aspect to it. I think in some cases there have been, when I heard comments by Angel Reese and a few others over the years. And, I mean, if that's the case, that's a shame, too. You ought to be proud that you've got somebody who's elevating your league like that. And it all just seems to be a little bit of a jealousy issue to me. Nobody's doing what Caitlin Clark is doing in the WNBA. Nobody's maybe ever done what Caitlin Clark is doing in the WNBA. Wow. All right, coming up next hour, the RNC chairman, Michael Whatley, at about 7:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.